This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
I am not a morning person in any way.
And Brock Rahm.
That's fair. I kind of don't blame him.
What are your goals and ambitions, and who do you aspire to be? Well, today's guest, Eichel Davis, wants to break into uncharted territory. He's well on his way. The newly appointed director of creative video at Cincinnati, Eichel shares his vision for the future, and maybe he'll get you to rethink yours.
Oh, yeah, geez. I'm second time in a row, I've just totally, like, spaced a clap. See, JP and I got to practice last interview.
So not me.
We're spot on there.
I'm rusty.
I thought you were Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
We are pleased to be joined today by Eichel Davis. He is the director of creative video at the University of Cincinnati, the newly named director of creative video. He's been in Cincinnati, what is it now, about 45, 50 days?
Yeah, about 45, 50. It's been time, probably the most packed 45, 50 days of my life, but it's been very enjoyable.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on the new job. And why don't we maybe just start with you telling us what that process was like, you know, trying to get a job right now in this environment, you know, with the pandemic still kind of happening with a lot of people looking for jobs. I'm sure that was a pretty competitive environment for you.
Yeah, it happened really fast. I got a phone call from Dan Phillips, who's now my now boss, on Friday. Asking if I would be interested in coming to Cincinnati and doing some creative video stuff. And I, just from that one phone call, had a ton of interest and flew up on a Monday and had probably one of the best, like, interview in-person days I've ever had in terms of people and culture and just the environment and where we wanted to grow. It felt like the perfect spot after being at TCU for 3 years. And I got the job offer on a Tuesday and I accepted on a Wednesday. So it was a less than a week process from being a horned frog to being a Bearcat. I made the best decision that I could have possibly made. And I've enjoyed this more than I thought I ever could. So it's been awesome.
Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, for you, when you're looking at a new job, when you're looking to find a role, you know, what was it that you were looking for? You say that there was, like, going to be a lot of opportunity and a lot of creative freedom. What, when you're going through looking for a job, what does that mean to you when you see creative freedom or creative opportunity out there?
Yeah. So I was in a weird spot where, like, I wasn't actively like, all right, I need to jump at the first job I get, because I loved TCU. I love TCU. I'll be a TCU fan the rest of my life. And can't say enough good things about the people there and just, like, TCU as a whole. So I knew that for me to leave that place, it had to be the right opportunity, and not only the right place, but the right time at the right place. And I don't think there's any better time to be at the University of Cincinnati than right now. Just with where we are with all of our sports programs. I mean, we are about to have such a great year, and I can't wait. So yeah, I definitely look for opportunities in terms of creative freedom, in terms of the ability to build a staff and really mold things in my own vision, but also I look a lot at the people that I want to be working with, both above and below, and that's super important to me. And I found that Cincinnati had such a rich group of people that working here was going to provide me with just a bunch of great people to get started with. And I have been, even my high expectations have been surpassed since being here for this, even a short period of time. So it's been, yeah, I guess I look for culture and people are the most important, but definitely the ability to build and craft things in your own image is right up there too.
And you said that you were at TCU for the past 3 years. Can you, maybe let's just kind of go backwards, you know, take us through how you got to this point where you're here at Cincinnati and, just a little bit about how you got into video and then your steps on this path to being a Bearcat.
Yeah. So I started doing video in high school, had some great teachers there, went to Westminster and St. Louis and, really started doing a little bit of video there, but I got to Mizzou, in 14 and kind of at the right time where football had video creatively, but most other sports at that point didn't. It wasn't this like widely held notion that other sports got creative video. And I was a huge baseball fan growing up in St. Louis, growing up a Cardinals fan. So I immediately attracted to Mizzou baseball. And I got involved really heavy there. Like, By September of my freshman year, I was running Instagram and doing a bunch of social stuff for them. And that kind of curtailed from there to making hype videos every week that I now look back on and think these are the worst things I've ever made. And that entire process. And my junior year, I ended up doing football and basketball. And then my senior year, I kind of moved into doing a lot more of just general athletic stuff. So that was kind of my journey there. And I got an opportunity to actually go to the Alamo Bowl in 2017, which TCU happened to be playing it because my roommate in college, Reed, he was a huge TCU fan. And he kind of got me into it and got an opportunity to go down there for that game. And met some people like Drew Martin, who's at Texas, and Caden Hyde and Kyle C. I got a chance to sit and talk with those guys. And that was kind of a conversation that built those relationships. And before I know it was May and I was graduating and got a call from Kyle and Drew. And they're like, hey, do you want to come to TCU? And I was like, I mean, I wouldn't mind going to my dream school right out of college. So it doesn't sound like a bad opportunity. And cannot say enough about that choice and those people working with some great people at TCU, and forever thankful to Kyle and Drew for really bringing me over there. So then, the rest of it is kind of known with the transition from TCU to Cincy.
How would you describe your creative process? I know that's a big question, but like let's say you're approaching a, you know, a hype video or something for Instagram or for Twitter or wherever, like, how do you go about concepting? How do you go about deciding, you know, what you want to create and how you want it to look?
Yeah, I feel like I have one of the looser creative processes in the field where it's different for every project. Like if I know a project is going to include like a big story or a big script, then I immediately go there first. I always write my scripts first. I guess if I had a creative process, it would be scripting first. That's always been like my first move. I'm not big into storyboarding. I'm like most of my big epics, that they kind of come from me kind of just working through it and just like having a bunch of clips and being like, okay, like if I listen to it enough, I can visualize in my head, which is something that I guess I do different, or I don't know if I do different, but something that I'm good at is that if I can listen to a song or a sound and visually play an entire video through my head, then I know that I've got something. And that's kind of how I get started with scripting and music and gathering footage. And then once I have everything, I really do start kind of the slow process of making sure that every clip fits where it needs to and all that stuff. But my creative process is definitely kind of a hodgepodge mess, but it will forever go back to story. Like it's like story drives everything I do, it drives every video I make. So I guess if I had a creative process, it would be identifying stories first and then figuring out where to go from there. And that's kind of how I've viewed video and social and all that fun stuff.
You talked about, I think something we've talked about a lot before on this podcast is a lot of people who are very good editors are like you said, very in tune with music, you know, and make that a high priority in an edit. What's it like for you, and what do you look for in a music selection when you're starting a piece, right? At what point in time, you talked about picking the music early potentially, what point in time do you do that, and how long does that usually take? Do you get caught up sometimes? Is it just you hear a song and you put it on the back burner for a future edit? What's that like?
So I have a secret playlist on YouTube that is like hundreds of songs that I've curated probably since my junior year of college, and that's kind of the first place I go when I'm looking for music. But then there are some times where these big projects where I hear a song and I know I'm using that song. Like it's like instantly in my head, like I hear it and I'm like, yes, this song is being used for this video. And I've saved songs for years. Like I saved a song for a postseason video for baseball last year. I think I found it in like July. I didn't use it until like the next June. It's like I'm very good at holding music for the right big moment. And it also helps that I love music. I'm a big music person. I think Spotify is probably the most used app on my phone. I listen to pretty much every type of music, so that's always been helpful because I've been able to identify kind of the best tracks in every genre. So yeah, it's music is so important, and like music and sound together, I think, are kind of the goats of creative video, because if your music's good and your sound's good, then everything else really, really comes together easily. Where here, like, if you just have a track but no like sound edits, it's like it's a good video, but it could have been so much better, right? So I think that's one thing that I learned a lot at TCU is how to use sound and sound editing, and it just helped that I had a lot of great people there that were so good at sound editing that it really allowed me to step up my game and do that kind of stuff. So yeah, music's a big part of my life in general. So it's just kind of natural that it's a big part of how I make videos.
Eichel, I need you to help us settle a score. Are you a 1-3 guy or a 2-4 guy?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's fair. Your downbeats.
You like to edit on the 1s and 3s or the 2s and 4s?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like that's too technical for my editing style.
whatever feels good.
It. Let me explain to you the benefits of 1 and 3.
No, we can keep going.
Is there a big debate between the two?
Only on this podcast. Literally nowhere else is anyone talking about that. But whenever someone says they like music, that we've got to ask the question.
I agree with all of you equally.
So what kind of music do you listen to when you talk about, you know, music being a big part of your life?
So I listen, my main two genres are probably, and they're very different. My main two genres are definitely like R&B and hip hop and then country. Like I love country music, but also I'm a massive like R&B and hip hop fan. Like my favorite probably era of music is like 2000s R&B. So I listen to a lot of of music from that era. My favorite artist of all time is J. Cole. So I'm definitely a big hip hop guy. But like my top artist, like the most listened to artist last year was Luke Combs. So it's really all over the place, which is nice, but it's also like when my friends are in the cars with me, they're like, I don't know if I'm getting whiplash or like what's happening here. Like we've gone from Lil Baby to like Maren Morris. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. So it's definitely a eclectic music library, but it also helps me because, you know, I can kind of relate to almost anyone's music taste, which is nice, especially when you're making videos for fan bases that, especially at TCU and here and especially everywhere now, is like there's definitely a culture gap between your older fans and your younger fans. So it helps a lot to kind of use music that can relate to everybody. So that's definitely been a plus to having my very wide ranging music taste.
I think that's so important, and everybody who's young in the industry should really think about that, right? Because it's easy to edit to music that you think is cool, right? And it's fun, but you have to understand your audience, right? And your audience is going to want different things. So I love that you emphasize that, and you said, you know, you have an eclectic music taste, because that's only going to help, because, you know, the 65-year-old fan is going to have a different music taste than the 25-year-old fan they're sitting next to. But you can't just target one of them, right? It's got to be both.
For sure.
I mean, I would also argue that it goes the other way too for us olds in the industry, that you can't edit every video to Thunderstruck and just think it's going to land. So, you know, you got to find some middle ground.
It was the beauty of working in college athletics for as long as I did, because the children kept me young with the music. Now that I'm out of it, I don't know what's cool anymore. But for a while,
I feel the same way. I've been at Big Ten Network now for almost 4.5 years, and like not being on a college campus anymore, like just working around students, I felt like I was perennially like 25.
Yep.
And now I feel just so out of the loop, because like
you went from 25 to 65 real
quick.
For
real. Like college kids keep you young, man. Just being around them all the time in a college athletic department, like it's a different vibe. It's crazy.
I guess that's a good segue question, is what is the student worker presence like at Cincinnati? Do you have student workers? How do they integrate into your day-to-day?
So this is actually a pretty timely question, because in about an hour and a half, we're having our first like full team meeting with all our students. So last week we went through the process of hiring a kind of student video army, because when I got here, we had two interns for video, and I was looking around, I was like, well, TC, we had 12. So I gotta bridge this gap somewhere. And it just so happens that the two interns that I had already are like two of the most talented interns like ever. So like that helped me a lot. You know, Callum and Tyler, and then, you know, Eric, who's our full timer. So it's like we had a good basis, but now it's like, how do we go about, because a big goal for me is equity, is like every sport deserves to have great content. And, you know, every sport deserves to have like a guy, right? Like every sport needs like that, but this is your video person. So it was important for us to go out and find enough people where we can put someone in every sport for the season that they know that they're comfortable with, because when players and coaches are comfortable with someone, they tend to give you much better content. So we built kind of this army of about 10 of us that we are going to really try to tackle every sport with the same amount of tenacity and quality. And it's been awesome. Cincinnati is a very unique place, because Cincinnati has like one of the top digital media schools in the country. So like the interns I found here have already been just like, they're already so prepared to be great. And it's been awesome. And that was definitely something that influenced my decision to come here. So
when you're looking at skill sets for those interns that you're bringing in, how do you separate or evaluate who you want on your team?
Yeah, it's almost less about talent and more about like people. Like it's so important, because we're going to work so heavily together that we have to like at least somewhat like each other. So I spent a lot of time getting to know them as people, because at a place like this, there's a lot of talented kids, and it's really just more about personality and relationship building and how you're going to interact with people. But from a technical standpoint, again, it goes back to storytelling. Like it's like I can teach you how to make, you know, cool transitions and how to edit on beat and all this stuff. But if you're a natural storyteller, man, that's something that's hard to teach. Like being a naturally good at storytelling, it's one of those things that you know, it's like they say in football, it's very hard to teach touch, right? So like for us, it's very hard to teach natural storytelling ability. So more than anything, that's what I look for in interns, is the ability to naturally tell stories.
And for you, I mean, I say this with no, you know, ill will, but I mean, you're 3 years out of school, right? You're a 2018 grad and you're leading a department at Cincinnati, which is a pretty strong athletic department right now. Like, what is that like for you, you know, being young and leading and how do you go about like preparing to become a leader of a department like this?
Yeah, I don't shy away from the fact that I'm 25 years old and I'm leading a department. It's not like, I think when I took this job, like that was kind of the surreal moment of it, of like, wow, like I this was a goal and I got here much faster than I thought I was going to. And that was at a big school too. So, you know, that was definitely something. But for me, the most important thing for me is to realize that I am 25. I don't know like everything. And I made sure that like these interns are going to teach me stuff. Like it's inevitable. They, you know, it's crazy kind of going back, like they're 18 and some of the things that they like reference, I'm like, am I that old? So like, it's already like they've already taught me so much about things that like 18.
It only gets worse, man. I promise you don't get any younger as you go.
That's good, I guess. It's been nice though. Like I love TikTok, but I don't naturally understand the ins and outs of how to make TikTok. So having people who do is very important to me. And but yeah, I love it. It helps me kind of more naturally understand what's going on. And I'm also very not far removed from being a college student that loved college sports, that went to a good college. So it's easy for me to make videos and kind of be a fan in that way. But I also know that, like I said, like, you know, I can learn so much from everyone that I interact with, and learning is just as important to me as teaching. So, you know, those two go hand in hand.
I mean, what are your like dreams and goals for this department? Like you said, you're kind of building it out. You're kind of coming into your own. You're getting to shape it. When you come in, like, how much do you have down on paper? Like, this is what I want it to look like in a year, in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? Or how much is it just like, we'll kind of figure it out as we go?
So I'm a bullet points planner, I guess I would say. I like planning on a basis, goals, like this is an overarching level. But I'm also not a like storyboarder. Like I want to plan every scene. So what's been nice here is that I got the job in May and I didn't get here until July. So I had almost a month and a half to really sit down and think about, okay, like what's the goals of this department? What are our core values? Stuff of that nature. And it was always nice because I had the opportunity to work closely with coaches at TCU. So I kind of had that, brought that kind of coach mentality into how do I want to build this program, kind of how they build their programs. I definitely have goals, and I guess my number one goal is, and one that I don't shy away from, is that I think Cincinnati can have the best video department in the country, not in the Power Six, not in Ohio, in the country. And that's a goal that I tell our interns and I tell everyone that works here every day, is like, you know, I am someone who can't really settle for anything other than being the best. So it's very important to me that we get there. And I'm also very impatient. So us getting there sooner than later is important to me. But I know, you know, we're starting from scratch. We have great people here, and that's helping us a ton. But it's going to be challenging. Like there are going to be days where I'm really tired, and it feels like there's a lot to do, and it's overwhelming at times. But I truly believe that I'm going to look back in July of 2022, and you know, I'm like, wow, people are looking at Cincinnati as being one of the best, not only in the Power Six, but in the entire league. So that's the goal, being the best.
When we talk about your title of creative video, are you what different parts are you touching? Are you working in arena? Or are you focused mostly on like more longer form or like social media type content? When you, and because you've been talking about
all the different interns that you have and want to make sure that there's equity across all the different sports. I'm just curious what different elements you're touching for each different sport.
Yeah, so in plaintiff's terms, I'm touching every element. I'm kind of doing board stuff. I'm doing social. I'm doing recruiting stuff. It's kind of an overarching, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's nice that I can touch all these corners and really have my hand and my impact immediately felt. And what's also nice is that we have a great director of creative for football in Kelsey Sharkey. So she really does handle the day-to-day stuff for football, which takes a lot off of my plate and allows me to really focus on these other sports that might not get the love of football and basketball. I'm primarily handling basketball, and then our interns are kind of actively handling all the other sports with my guidance everywhere. You know, with this TV show that we're doing, which has been this gigantic undertaking that I wouldn't trade for the world. It's been kind of pulled everyone in to really work on this for 6 weeks. But yeah, we're really touching every piece of the puzzle that we possibly can. And I'm sure that as this job grows and as I grow, we'll start to touch even more.
As somebody, not a TV show, but building a video board show from the ground up in a similar amount of time period, I know how little I slept in that amount of time. How much have you slept in the past 6 weeks building this TV show, and what have been the biggest challenges in doing that?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest challenge was launching it less than 2 weeks after I started. That's probably been the biggest challenge. And to answer your sleep question, I don't really know how much I've slept. I've kind of had to like mentally block out the lack of sleep I've gotten, and just kind of keep going. But it's been worth it, definitely, for sure. You know, the challenges have been, you know, we are one of the few schools that we don't do camp on campus. Like, we actually go to a training camp location. And how do you get footage from the middle of nowhere where the Wi-Fi sucks? You know, it's like, it's been a lot of going back and forth and road trips and all that fun stuff and lots of hard drives. So there have definitely been unique challenges that have been unique to our situation here. But those unique challenges are also what makes our show and our program very unique and different. So it's definitely been a take and give there. But the product of the show has been so awesome that it's like, it's immediately put us on the map of something of a creative video department that is here to play with all the big boys. So it's been nice.
Can you, for those who haven't seen or won't be able to see the TV show, can you give us a little background on what you're trying to accomplish with it and what purpose it's serving for the athletic group?
Yeah. So Let It Fly, it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. So the concept of this is to do kind of a hard knock show that was stylized and cinematic and less of the quote unquote coaches show that has been done in the past, and really kind of dive deep into the individual stories of the program and this year that is poised to be one of the best in Cincinnati history. So it's all about this buildup. There's kind of this constant feeling of tension almost building, because you know you're building towards this first game. And that was kind of the goal of this, was to have the show that led you right up to the moment. And then the goal is like, you're in your seat and like, you've watched the show and now you're prepared more than you've ever been prepared to understand this team and the goals that they're going for. So that was kind of the basis of the show. And it's definitely grown to be this kind of huge kind of statement of what Coach Fick has built here and what Cincinnati has invested in here to get us to where we are now, which is, you know, one of the first Power Five schools to really compete, to have a chance to compete, to make the playoff. So
how many people do you have working on that? You talked a little bit about how small your team is, but I mean, that's a huge, huge lift and a huge effort, especially with some of the traveling stuff that you had mentioned to pull this off and put it together.
For sure. So we have about four or five people filming, and then I'm the sole editor, which has been fun and exciting and stressful over the last 6 weeks. But it's really been nice. I mean, overall, people working on the show is probably 10 of us, from SIDs to graphic designers to everyone else. So it's a small team pulling off a gigantic project, but we're also committed to its success that it's turned out really well.
As you know, you kind of talked about how many people are working on the show and you know, you editing it yourself, and how many people are working on that. How do you see that shifting? I think Justin can probably identify with this. One of the hardest things I had to do when I was younger and leading a group of people was taking things off my plate, right? I'm a big hands-on guy and I really want to, like, you know, do all of it. Has that been hard for you to kind of maybe, you know, as a department head now and being young, let go of some of those things that you used to do and kind of, you know, delegating that? Or how has that transition really been for you?
Short answer, yes. I was definitely someone that loved to have my hands in everything. And I'm a detail guy. So I like, you know, if a watermark ends like a millisecond too early, I'll notice it. So it's definitely it's definitely been different. I'm making less stuff, which is just new to me. I'm not like making everything. But I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to how much do you trust your people? And I've had the great opportunity to have people that I can trust, which has allowed me to every week, I feel like I'm delegating more and more and being able to take less and less off of my plate, which has been huge. And also exciting because it's like, I get the same kind of adrenaline rush of making a cool video as I do seeing them make cool stuff now. And it's been really cool to see that transition over the course of this first month and a half. So yeah, it's definitely been hard delegating, going from a place where you were making almost everything to a place where you like physically cannot make everything now, has been one of the challenges of leadership. But I've enjoyed the process of kind of making that transition.
Yeah, I can definitely identify with that. You find things that you really enjoy doing and that's kind of what you hold on to, and everything else you got to let go of. So as you're editing, is that the thing that you think you're going to try and hold on to a little bit more? Or like when you mentioned earlier, you were working more directly with the basketball team, or are you going to be a little bit more hands-on with the basketball team than you will with some of the other sports, or how do you see all that going?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be kind of, so basketball is definitely going to be kind of my kind of escape in terms where I can really be there every day and create most of the content and kind of still have that day-to-day team feel of like, okay, I'm traveling with the team. I'm in it, which is something that I loved. You know, one of my favorite parts about being a videographer is being able to be part of a family and be part of an individual team. And basketball here gives me the opportunity. And so that's going to kind of be my outlet for my creative side. Since I'm not going to be doing as much as the day-to-day stuff as I'm used to.
I guess when, you know, your name came up quite a bit back in February when Darius was leading the panel for Black creatives, and a lot of people mentioned you as somebody, a source of inspiration that people looked up to. But you're young, still, you know, a couple years out of school. So how have you gotten to the point where you're recognizable and people are aspiring to do what you're doing within college? I mean, you started early at Mizzou, so I guess that maybe that's a big part of it. It sounds like you found something that you were really interested in wanting to do early on, but you also have a wide a group of people who follow you and love what you do.
It's still weird to me sometimes if that's the case. Like you said, I'm 25, and it's always kind of strange for me to hear people say those things, because I just feel like I've gone out and just created stuff, and that's kind of been where I'm at. And but I think it's also because I am so open to my beliefs on things. And I think that's also a big thing that sets me apart, is that, you know, I had a teacher when I was in high school that was like, the most important thing you can do is when you find your voice, always make sure to say something significant. And I think about that every day. It's like, you know, I have a voice and I have a decent amount of Twitter followers and followers on social. It would be a shame if I didn't use them to call action to things that are important to me, but also important to other people and making the world a much better place, so that when I die and, you know, a very long time from now, that I can look back and say, like, wow, like, I feel comfortable knowing that I did everything I can to make the world a decently better place. So I think that's probably part of it. Talking to people and yeah, it's still weird to hear that I can be an inspiration to anybody. I definitely humbly accept those words. But yeah, to me, it's all about just being a good person and making it all about people. And I think people realize that that's what I'm all about. So.
Yeah, that's great. It was cool to hear and cool to see. And obviously your work is very, very good. So it's been awesome to see some of your stuff at TCU and, you know, what you're starting to work on. That I just took a quick look at the Let It Fly as well, where you were talking about it. And it looks like you guys are doing some really, really great stuff already. So I guess you were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, having to maybe slow down a little bit. You weren't going to get as far as you wanted to. It sounds like you have quite a bit of drive within you. Where does that come from when it comes to the work that you want to produce?
It's interesting. My watch just turned off. I feel like my drive comes from my family. Like, we've always been a driven group of people. We didn't grow up with a lot. And, you know, pretty much everyone in my generation of my family has gone to college and really kind of pushed ourselves to be the best that we can be in any field that we're in. I'm kind of I'm the guy in sports when a lot of my other people, my cousins, are in like medicine. So I'm pushing towards something a little different than they are. But it definitely comes from my family, but also my friends, like, you know, my friends like Trey and Bryce and Salzy and Reed, they drive me every day because they are just as driven as me. And I think it's so important having friends that actively have the same amount of drive as you do, whether it's in video or for them it's in baseball or real estate or anything else. So it's important to have people behind you that can actively drive you as well as you're driving yourself. But I think that's part of it. But also just internally, I've always been a driven person. You know, I have big dreams. Like, I want to be an athletic director, and that's not something that's common for people that come from a video background. But, you know, I'm not really used to being common. So I'm not like, that doesn't really mean much to me. So, so yeah, just being driven and doing things that haven't been done is really important to me.
Man, I hope you get there, because we know there's got to be, every school has to be saying, oh man, I'd love an athletic director who understood video and who backed it as much as someone like you could, you know?
For sure. That's definitely a goal, is to get there and hopefully make it a little bit easier for the next group of video people coming up.
All right, as we close, I think the last thing I've got for you is a question that I love to ask and that we've asked many times on this podcast is, you know, for you, what would you say is the biggest mistake or biggest, like, time that you failed in your career, and what did you take away from it and learn from it?
Yeah. So, like, very quickly when I got to TCU, we started in this series called the 817, which was awesome. And it was like this show where you went around like Fort Worth and with athletes, and you really connected the school with the community. It was awesome. It was a great show, but we started getting more ambitious and more ambitious, and we had this idea for a show because College Game Day was coming to town. And we had somehow gotten clearance to talk to Maria Taylor for the show, and we were like, all right, cool. So like, I guess like she kind of forgot about it, so we like had to like almost like paparazzi style like ask her about it, and it was like this quick like 30-minute interview, and we did it and it was great. And then I looked down and the camera's just like corrupted, just like all like memory card shot. So like, and she was gone. Like she literally like left our interview and got on stage and started like College Game Day. So like there was no other opportunity. So like we never got that interview or that segment. But like, you know, that was definitely a big mistake. But it just kind of, you know, things always happen. It's inevitable when you're dealing with technology that we kind of beat up and use almost every day constantly. That somehow somewhere bounds to happen. I just hope it doesn't happen when I'm interviewing like the biggest star in TV ever again. But yeah, that was kind of a mistake that was made, and learned from it and kept rolling. We ended up just like finding another person to interview. It worked out, but that's always the one that got away.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.